Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. Troy Dooley here. Hope you're having an awesome day. I got to do a shout out. This happens to be my dad's birthday today, and he is up in rehab, and I just want to do a shout out and tell him happy birthday. And it just happens to be my wife's birthday today. Her and my daughters are just going to go and have a phenomenal and enjoyable time. And I tell you what, I'm excited. I'm going to be watching the granddaughters today and Jetty, and we're going to have a blast. So thanks for tuning in. We are in Dave Ramsey's book, Entre Leadership, 20 Years of Practical Business Wisdom from the Trenches. And today, Chapter 12, Caught in the Act. Have you ever gotten caught in the act? Maybe as a teenager, you're parking out somewhere, maybe as an adult. I don't think that's what Dave's talking about, but that kind of crosses your mind, especially when you've been married 24 years. Subtitle this chapter, Amplifying the Success of Your Business through Recognition and Inspiration. See, that's the key. Yesterday we talked about the fact that it's about the people. It's about creating unity and loyalty. Do you realize how important recognition is? I see companies launch all the time, and their only focus is on money. And it's humorous to me. Do you realize that your military that protects your rights, they don't get paid hundreds of thousands of years to do that? They do it for a bigger calling. They do it for recognition to a certain degree. I know millionaires who have fought over T-shirts. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. And psychologists and psychiatrists have proven through science, people will do a lot for money. But they will die for recognition. It is a human need that's there. Some of the greatest companies in direct selling understand this. They understand what it means to recognize people for great things and even for small things. I think sometimes we don't, as leaders, we don't seem to get it. As the new breed of entrepreneur, we don't seem to get it. See, we seem to think that because the economy's kind of weird right now, that all we got to do is slap something together and people will come. When I'm interacting with some of the top leaders in the field and some of the top executives and founders, what I find is they all have one thing in common. They're doing everything they can to change the world through their mission. As I've studied this and analyzed this, I've started to realize that it's through collaboration, recognizing and giving inspiration to distributors and great companies that we are able to really change the paradigm within direct selling and get back to the basics that for the last 150 years has made this such a great place to do business. Dave writes this. He says, people yearn for appreciation. Appreciation can launch even the most educated, sophisticated person into the stratosphere. Sharon, his wife, says women often dress to be appreciated, not just by their husband, but even by their friends. Because in a healthy marriage, most men yearn to be appreciated by their wives more than virtually anywhere else on the planet. I'll sidetrack on that one for a minute. And I'll tell you that men will go to the ends of the earth for their wife to respect and admire them more than loving them. Ladies, if you want your husband to become just the greatest person you know, you start respecting and appreciating them and letting them know that. And I guarantee you, you'll start to hear the words, I love you, a whole lot more. Isn't it funny? I'm on a rabbit hole for a minute. It's funny when you go to the store how all the cards say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Because most of the time, it's the men that are buying them for the women. I would love to see some cards that say, honey, I appreciate the husband, the father that you are, year round, not just a little bit on Father's Day. You'd be amazed. Again, science has proven this. See, people need it. Men need that supportive wife. The supportive wife needs a loving husband. People yearn for attention. The yearning is so primitive sometimes, even in our kids, that we see it come out in a negative manner. So the question is, what can we do? What can you do? You may be a CEO. You may be a brand new distributor. You yearn for people to admire you, to give you that attention. It's funny. Dave writes this, and I thought this is good. He said, we yearn so desperately for affection, even as adults, but affection in the workplace, eyebrows go up, and suddenly there's thoughts running through your mind of sexual harassment lawsuits. Excuse me. And see, that's how bad this has come. Matter of fact, I'm putting up a video later today that has nothing to do with work or business. It's going to be a politically incorrect, adult-oriented video about this very subject. Because we have stopped appreciating men and women, but especially women. We're so freaking worried about sexual harassment lawsuits that we don't show any type of affection. I used to go through the stores, and when I'd see an attractive woman that was dressed nice, I'd say, ma'am, you look very pretty. Nowadays, you're freaking afraid to do anything. Why? Dave's talking about that. We've gotten so lawsuit happy that we've gotten away from giving that basic yearning that everyone needs, recognition. Dave shares a story that I thought was beautiful. He said, the wife of one of my young team members recently miscarried in the second trimester. They had three other kids, but the loss of a baby is never easy. He said, we ran into them at lunch on a Sunday afternoon. About a week after their loss, he goes, without thinking, I walked up, gave her a big hug, and told her we were hurting for her. Later that afternoon, I got a great email from my team member, her husband, reminding me that the reason he loved working with us is we actually care about people. Folks, it doesn't matter if they're in the downline, if they're in your corporate office, if they're in your upline. Don't be afraid to appropriately love people. Yesterday, I was talking to a gentleman in Zango, great guy, I've known him for years, and he was sharing a little bit about his wife who has dementia, and I was praying, and about that time, good Lord put across my mind another friend of mine, Orrin Woodward, who's been going through a lot over the last few years, and I just felt compelled to reach out and talk to him, and I called him on the phone, just told him, man, I'm always standing in the gap, I'm always praying. I don't always know, you know, what you're going through or even if you're always in the right, but I do know that I'm praying for you. You know, we chatted for a little bit. He said, Troy, that means more to me than the people that just call me and give me kudos. I said, well, I don't have any kudos, but I want you to know I'm praying. See, I believe that's what life is about, is reaching out to people. Orrin Woodward can't give me anything. He's got everything in the sun. It's not like I can give him anything. Just something that I felt compelled to do. I showed him a little bit of recognition from somebody that's not monetarily attached to him. Say, you know what? I'm praying for you. Say, I'm treating other people the way I want to be treated. Recognition is about treating people the way you want to be treated. So the question is, how can you do this? I want you to write some of this stuff down. The first rule that Dave talks about for recognition is simply do it. When Art Williams started the L. Williams Company, now Primerica, he didn't have a lot of money. He was betting on a dream. He wanted to change the world. He gave away T-shirts. As that company grew and I watched men start making millions of dollars, I started seeing women making millions of dollars. I'd see them cry if they didn't win a T-shirt from Art Williams. It meant more to them than anything. As the company grew and the recognition grew, so did the awards. And I'd see men walk across stage and get awards the size of their front door for a job well done. Now, you might not be able to afford that, We'll get to that in a second.
So you've got to crank it out. Here's what you've got to learn to do, and we all do, both as parents and as business people. Focus on the positives. Focus on what they're doing right. It's not saying that there's not going to be some course corrections. That's part of the job as yours as an entre leader. Think about this. How many times as a kid when you came home, you'd have A's and B's, and then all of a sudden you'd have a C or a D, and the parents wanted to focus in on the C or the D. Focus in on the good things. Give them that kudo. Give them that motivation. And then figure out how you can help them on the other. You've got to always be looking for what they do right. I am constantly, not just telling my girls and my sons how much I love them, but I do it whenever they do things that are just doggone unresourceful. Second rule is it's got to be real. Don't pacify and placate and brown nose, whatever you want to call it, with fake kudos, fake recognition. Don't do that. You got to be legit. You got to be real. It's the only way to make this thing work and work right. If you don't, then man, God help you, because your team's going to run off. And something Art Williams taught me and something that Dave writes in this book, you've got to recognize the spouses. See, that doesn't mean necessarily that the spouse has to have an award. But what you can do is call them on the phone and say, I want you to know something. I want to thank you for allowing your husband or your wife to work on our team. They are such a valuable asset. You are married to somebody very special. You're dating somebody very special, whatever the case is. A supportive spouse go a long ways in creating a magnitude of things for your team member. Dave writes another story, and I thought this was good. He said, because of our success in the media, I'm blessed to meet lots of famous world-class people. A few years ago, I met and became friends with a world-class champion. As he was sitting around my kitchen table one night, we were chatting, and he was sharing with me how much sacrifice his mom and his dad had gone through in order for him to succeed. And Dave reached out and just thanked his parents. It's amazing what can happen. You want that recognition to be in writing. I have thank you letters. Actually, they're just cards. They don't even say thank you on them. They're just nice cards. And I hand write. I even take it a step above that. I have a seal, just like they used in Scotland and Ireland and probably in England. And after I've signed my name, I drip wax on it and put my initial on it. I want them to know I went that extra mile to say thank you. Send out a recognition. Do it in a handwritten note. I know that my good friend Michael owns Pixingo and Cody owns Send Out Cards, and those are cool in this 21st century, and I wouldn't trade any of those companies. You'd be amazed what a handwritten card with a little message in it can do. You got to go that extra step, that extra mile. You got to be able to make this thing work. Recognize your people in front of their peers. Hold webinars, hold conference calls, hold meetings, and praise them in front of others for a job well done. And like I said earlier, it doesn't have to be expensive. You know, one of the things that we used to do in Primerica is on a Saturday morning, we would hold team trainings, and I'd buy $100,000 bars. I'd buy payday bars. And if we had new team members that had been busting their butt, been making calls, been going out on appointments, I gave away paydays and $100,000 bars and said they're on their way. They're on their way to a payday. They're on their way to $100,000. You know what? They got excited about that. And yes, they were adults. They weren't teenagers. It doesn't take much. It's the thought behind the action that counts. Always remember people's birthdays. Put them in your Outlook. Put them in your smartphone. Do whatever it is you got to do in your contact manager. say happy birthday. The second thing is you've got to continually be inspiring the team. Dave writes, inspiration touches the emotion and causes activity. When a book, a sermon, or in person inspires you, they lift you and send you forth. How do you do this? Dave gives us 5, 6, 7 different ways. Number one, cast the vision. Where there is no vision that is understood and repeated to the team, there's no inspiration. You've got to have that vision branded on your heart. You've got to know why you're doing what you're doing no matter when it gets tough. You've got to just keep on going. Keep on cranking. I'm seeing vision casting in the 21st century in 2011 like I haven't seen in years. Blake Mallon's over at Vitalis, one of the co-founders, put a video up on my wall yesterday, casting the vision of the company. I was so blown away, especially since he was able to contain most of his enthusiasm. He's casting the vision bigger than ever. Richard Brooks, over at 2110, has cast a vision so big. Other nationally recognized trainers, New York bestsellers, are jumping on the bandwagon with him. It's amazing to see this happening all over. Number two, compensation. Compensation never sits at the top of my list of things, but listen to what Dave writes. Ultimately, few people who feel underpaid and or financially taken advantage of are ever inspired. If you're a leader, you need to do what my friend BK Barreco did in 2010. You need to revamp your comp plan so that the average distributor has within their grasp the ability to make an additional $500 a month. You put that to work, and you'll start to see a movement. Oh, they'll dream big dreams. Don't you dare worry about that one. But they will go to the gusto because they can start to see how they part-time change their lives. It's huge. Number three, create a crusader's mentality. Now, I am big on this. Crusaders will lay siege to the competition. Crusaders will run into a burning building. Crusaders will work. And while, I mean, they will work, and they will work, and they will work. And they will work while they're at work. They'll work when they're off. I mean, they will go for the crusade. Crusaders require strong leaders of huge integrity. Crusaders don't want to be driven like cattle. They run like wild stallions. Crusaders only crusade for something bigger than them. I don't care what company you might be with listening to this today. If you're in the weight loss, the weight management, any of that, you're on a gigantic crusade. You're on a crusade to turn the obesity rate in America and then in the world around and make it a healthier place to live. Maybe you're not with a weight loss company. Maybe you're with one of the food companies like Restelli Direct or Beyond Organics. And you're on a crusade to show people how if they're not into the weight gain and they don't have that, that thought process of wanting to lose weight, but they want to eat healthy, they want to change their lives, then you're giving them something. You're sharing with them the honest to God truth. You're providing them with great products. Maybe you're with Primerica and you know about the crusade of providing middle America with hope and opportunity. Maybe you're with Prepaid Legal or now Legal Shield. You're there to protect America from frivolous lawsuits and identity theft. Maybe you're just with my little company, my good buddy, Scott Rogers, down with Vitel Solutions. And you're on a mission to provide services, whether it's to the consumer or to the businesses, that can change their lives, save them money, and they'll be able to maybe give a raise to those employees that they're working with. Whatever the case is, you as the owner of that company must give your people the crusade. That takes us right into number four, the storytelling. If you tell the story behind the company, behind the crusade, you will create crusaders who will be loyal and they will fight to the end. You've got to be able to create it.
You've got to believe it. And you have to be the number one crusader. Any of you that know the story of Robin Hood know that King Richard didn't sit back waiting. He was out leading his troops. Do you know the story of King Arthur? You know that he didn't sit around at the round table while his knights went out and fought. If you know the story of the three musketeers, you know that the musketeers would fight to the death for their king, the crusade that he had them on. If you've ever been in the Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marines, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You have to share that. You have to inspire people. You've got to share stories of other successes of the crusade with people. This all ties into one. Send out the positive. Number five, you've got to be predictable. See, if you've got explosive, erratic behavior as a leader, you will never inspire. I've worked for people like that. Smart as a whip, totally erratic in their behavior. You can't be that way. You will paralyze your organization. They will be fearful. So fearful they won't even move. They won't even think. You can't do that. Best way to do it is create a core value system and work on it and have operating principles that you live by and never change. And of all these things, predictability is the big one. Number six is passion. You got to have a deep, burning passion. It's that burning passion deep inside somebody's soul that causes them to go onto the crusade. Do you know when people are on a crusade, on something bigger than themselves, that even if it takes them 2 or 3 years to get it right and to make more than $200 a month, that they will stick it out because they believe? Because you keep inspiring them and giving them passion beyond anything they ever dreamed of. You can change the world that way, folks. You don't want a bunch of people sleeping. You want them being passionate. Number seven, you got to lead by example. Entre leaders know that they set the tone, the speed, and the work ethic of the team. They bust it. The greatest leaders I know in business today, not just in network marketing, in business today, are hardly ever in their office. They're walking through the building. They're out in the field. They're burning the midnight oil sometimes. They're meeting with people. They're balanced, don't get me wrong here. But they're leading by example. They don't sit back and say, the holidays are on us. Time to relax. Now, they're going to enjoy their family, and they are going to relax. But they've always got their eye on the ball. My friends, Sylvia and Garrett McGrath are headed for 3 weeks on vacation. Going to go to Ireland, where he's from, enjoy life. I guarantee you he will be in touch with his leaders. He will be working the business along with Sylvia. That's what they do. Other leaders will not be that way. Matter of fact, just not too long ago, James Christensen, one of the top leaders of Evolve, his wife's having a baby. He took time off to enjoy that little thing, enjoy her. She was asleep and the baby was asleep. He was checking in to make sure everything was rolling, inspiring his team, giving them some passion. Sam and Core and all his other leaders. It was fun to watch. That's what you have to do. You've got to be able to show the recognition and inspire the team. Tomorrow, chapter 13, three things successful people never skip. This is huge, man. You do not want to miss it. Let your teams know. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning for RealMentorsRadio.com. Bye now.